So this time of year we put the clocks back, the evenings are darker earlier, and for a lot of people in the Northern Hemisphere this time of year is not exactly dreaded, but it is not looked forward to. But it all depends what your particular perspective is. I mean, are you looking at the winter which is coming, or are you looking at the spring which is just beyond? And it is that sort of thing which, after the feast, so many people do tend to feel somewhat let down. And so, you know, I want to talk about this particular subject. And in doing so, I want to refer back to an article entitled "It Is Our Leaders Who Create Our Nation's Problems" of May the 14th, 2008, by Walter Williams. And he wrote, "Most of the great problems we face are caused by politicians creating solutions to problems they created in the first place. Politicians and a large percentage of the public lose sight of the unavoidable fact that for every created benefit, there's also a created cost, or as Nobel laureate Milton Friedman put it, there's no free lunches. While a person who receives the benefit might not pay or even be aware of the cost, but as sure as night follows day, there is a cost borne by someone." Now, Walter Williams was, at the time he wrote this, a professor of economics at the George Mason University, which I believe is in the United States somewhere. Now, it's been said that today's problems are yesterday's solutions. And just about every problem we see today is a result of a decision that was made in the past. It matters not that the problem is purely a physical one, or whether it is a spiritual one, or more likely a mixture of the two. A wrong spiritual response to a physical situation is bound to lead to a position of more than a little concern. So we find that, unfortunately, the world is full of yesterday's men who are filled with the sort of ideologies which have led us to a situation that we find ourselves in today. We've had the feast, and we're looking forward to something other than the feast now, aren't we? Or are we? We know we had the feast, and we should be filled with that vision still of what is ahead, not of what we are actually in at the moment. As far as the church is concerned, we are not the people of yesterday. We are the people of tomorrow. And just a few short weeks ago, we rehearsed what we are looking forward to. Throughout the feast, we rehearsed the time of God's government here on this earth. And it is this which we need to keep in our minds as we enter this time of winter, when the evenings are growing longer. Well, the evening is growing shorter, you know, but the darkness part of the evening is growing longer. And people do get depressed at this time of year. It's sad, isn't it? Seasonal adjusted... I've lost the word, but you know, it's a seasonal adjustment which makes you feel depressed. That's it, seasonal adjusted depression. And it is that sort of thing which we are coming up to at this time. So what I want to do in the time that we have today is to help us to project our thoughts beyond today's news, right the way through to the fulfillment of God's master plan. Because if we allow ourselves the luxury of wallowing in what is accepted as today's news, our eyes will only see the problems and we will not see the goal. We have to keep this vision alive throughout the days that we are living through. Now, I'd like you to turn with me, please, to Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18. Now, Solomon saw the problem, and he was inspired to give us a solution. I mean, you see the problem all around us. I was talking to somebody the other day, and he said, "I would hate to be in my grandchildren's shoes, not knowing what the future holds." Parents look at what their children can aspire to, and they think of all the problems. And the children today seem to be looking at a brick wall with nowhere further to go. And Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18, "Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keeps the law, happy is he." Now, unless we believe that what we believe in is real to us, And unless what we believe in is what we are living, then our efforts to look to a vision beyond are going to be useless. We have to believe that what we have is real, something real to look forward to. It is a real future benefit, a real future to look forward to, a future of real, unimagined glory. Now, if you don't know exactly where you're going, the problem, the chances are you're going to finish up somewhere entirely different. It's about like a bit like asking the way to Dublin and getting the answer back, well, if I was going to Dublin, I wouldn't be starting here. You know, you've got to know where you're going. You've got to have a picture in your mind, and you have got to know how to get there. And we'd like to go on a little bit further, but turn back in Proverbs to chapter 14. Because, you know, what we're looking for is a new heaven and a new earth. And in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 15, we find that another problem which is so easy to beset us. If we allow ourselves to look at the cares and the worries of the world and allow those to influence, then, you know, we're going to lose sight of that vision again. We need to ask ourselves how much of what we see, how much of what we read is actually true. Because so much of what we see and hear is a mixture of truth and error. And in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 15, we read the following. The simple believes every word, but the prudent man looks well to his going. Now, it's as George Orwell said in his novel, you know, so much of the language of today has been redefined. Truth has become a target of expediency. Something is only accepted as being true now if it actually falls into the policies or the agendas of the cabinets that meet behind closed doors in the corridors of power nowadays. If it doesn't fall into the category that they like, they try to inject into that truth the idea that it's not quite what it seems, to get our eyes off what is actually true. And what are we looking for? We're passing through this world. We're not part of it. We're pilgrims. We're sojourning in a time when we really should be looking forward, not being mired down in what is actually happening today. We've got to keep our vision further forward into what we lived through during the feast. And I'd like you to turn with me now towards the end of the Bible, towards the end of Revelation indeed, to Revelation chapter 21. And here we find what happens when you really look towards the end of things, towards the coming of God's kingdom. It's the whole process. This is the end of it. And this is what we should be looking forward to. In Revelation chapter 21, beginning in verse 1, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the waters of life freely. He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." I mean, this is what we should be looking forward to. I know it's way, way in the future, but today, in the times which we live now, you know, people make us think that there is no tomorrow worth looking forward to. But isn't this something which is worth looking forward to? We live in a world where today's problems are the results of yesterday's solutions. We live in a world where yesterday's men are still trying to find solutions to the problems without really knowing how those problems came to being. When all else fails, we should read the instruction book. And we have the instruction book here. This instruction book gives us a vision of the future, a vision which the men of today, or yesterday, who are ruling today, just have no idea, they have no concept of it whatsoever. As a result, we must keep this vision that we rehearse each year at the Feast of Tabernacles, because without it, we will lose our way. We don't have to believe everything that we read or hear. Truth and error have been mixed so very, very carefully, and it is very, very difficult for many, many people to tell the truth nowadays. We have to remember that we are only passing through this world as pilgrims on our way to something far better. And we have to project our thoughts way beyond today, right the way through to the completion of God's great master plan. We have to keep this vision. We have to keep this goal in our minds. Soon enough, we will hear those words booming out saying, "It is finished." And then all of the problems of today will seem as nothing.